station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Yes, welcome your host. Good morning. I forget to push the
there
button.
We go. I'm like, hello, check, what, hello, hello.
Good morning. We are indeed your hosts, and we're here back on a Tuesday, October 29th. Beautiful day outside.
It is.
If I might
actually
add.
Woke up and it was sunny instead of gloomy. It's
yeah,
nice.
Yesterday was like kind of gloomy and
yeah.
Very cold and windy.
Yeah, last night was cold, man. I felt it. I was like, ooh, okay, it's here. Winter is coming, ladies and gentlemen.
Summer's over. Yeah, we're just going to have a winter with more sunshine every day. That's our winter, pretty much. Just a little chillier. That's
you know, it was funny. It was actually Sunday. I mean, you saw how crazy. Like, it was like so foggy, right? Like, you couldn't even see, like, you know, if you were up, like, in, you know, at a house in, like, the hills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could usually see, you know, there was, like, nothing. There was so much fog.
Really?
We might as well have been floating, you know?
Right.
And it was just so funny because they called it a pool party.
Uh-huh.
Like, they'd planned it like, oh, it's like a housewarming pool party, you know. But it was like one of those, like, you know, 5 to 9 or like 5 to 10, you know, p.m. kind of parties.
Oh,
like
okay.
One of those, like, midday pool parties. But, okay. I mean, it was so cold. It was just so funny because, like, I get there and everybody's, like, straight up in, like, leather jackets and scarves, you know.
So much for the pool, huh?
I know. I'm like, oh, wait, wasn't this supposed to be a pool party? And I'm so glad I got the memo, you know. I got a call saying, like, oh, by the way, everyone that's leaving right now is wearing leather jackets, so don't wear a bikini and a cover-up. I was like, oh, okay, thanks for the update. That could have been really bad.
Yeah, I know, you would have frozen your ass to death.
I would have shown, well, yeah, I mean, like, they had a hot tub, so that was kind of, like, where my thought process was, but, of course, nobody was even outside.
Really?
Everyone was in the house.
It was that cold, huh?
It was, yeah, and it was just really, like, foggy, you know, because it was at one of those houses that was, like, way up at the top of the hill.
Right.
So it looked like we were just floating in the clouds because you look out and you can't see anything. So
yeah, I know.
It's kind of cool.
It gets like that here in the valley, too, right over the hills. It gets like, it looks almost like smoke. And, so I imagine the people that live up there pretty much can't see much. But, but then again, at the same time, I don't think anybody would mind living on the hills, right? It's really cool.
Oh, yeah, it's so cool. It's so cool. It's just, you know, sometimes it's just the drive up there. It's just such a pain.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And it's like, wow, you think, like, if they just want to run and grab something real quick, like, they can't do that.
That's
they can't
true,
just,
huh?
I'm going to walk down to the local grocery store and pick up some eggs and milk. Like, no.
You got to drive
it's
down.
It's like a whole charade.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, well, so I'm sure they stock up when they need to.
Right, for sure. Yeah. I'm sure they're, you know, at a point in their lives where they can afford, like, assistants and maids to, like, go and do that stuff for them. So they don't have to.
I suppose,
Must be nice.
I know.
Yeah.
So, well, there's a lot going on in the news, but we never have any chance to cover it, so we won't cover anything today. Because I didn't even even have a chance to look at anything.
Okay.
But we do have a great guest that we're going to bring on in a minute. And so, I mean, are there any Halloween parties left that you need to go to, or are you pretty much done for the year?
Well, it looks like, actually, my guests will probably find this quite ironic. Thursday on Halloween, I think I'm going to be at the House of Blues.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they do There's like this this guy, he throws these big parties called French Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. And they're usually, you know, naturally on Tuesdays.
On Thursdays.
But usually they're Tuesdays. But however, there's like, you know, he does like a big like New Year's thing and Halloween thing. Like for the big main holidays, he, right. you know, he throws parties. Of course, they're not always going to be on a Tuesday.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's still like the same people that run those events, but they're having it at the House of Blues.
Sounds good.
So, it
yeah.
should be,
well, you
can
report.
Be cool.
You can report to us from there and let us know. How
definitely.
Things went.
I know, I have to get another costume. Oh, oh, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know what I need to start like doing? I need to start, like, I always say I'm going to do this every year because it sounds so smart. Is like, you know, the Halloween stores, they're still open for a little while after Halloween, but everything is like 50% off, right?
Right.
So it's like, I need to stock up for
that's
like the next year. Like after Halloween, I just need to get like a ton of freaking costumes,
right.
you know?
Yeah. But you got to have something timeless that it does, you know, that'll work still next year.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so you
for
don't
sure.
want to be like an Obama or something, you know, because...
No. It's not
you know,
exactly
the
year, like
you know? The way things are going, man. Yeah. I don't know if he's gonna stay for the rest of his term, man.
I mean, I definitely would never be Obama for Halloween, anyways. But thank you
just
for that,
in case,
Sam.
Yeah. Oh man, but some characters are a sure bet, you know, like Hello Kitty or Disney characters, things like that. You know,
oh, of course.
They're timeless, you know.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always it's always good to be like one step ahead. And of course, you know, at least like one of my costumes, I'll wait till, you know, next year.
Yeah.
Because you know, there's just gonna be so many costume changes. Like probably this year was probably the most theme party costume changes I've ever gone through.
Oh wow! Okay, so
yeah.
it's not your usual. This is unusual.
It is a little bit unusual because like last year I think I went to one Halloween party and it was just like me and two friends did like a like Charlie's Angels. Like it was not very exciting at all. And I was like whatever. And then like on Halloween we walked up and down like you know the West Hollywood, you know, Santa Monica Boulevard parade thing.
Right.
And actually, I think the year before was when I came down with pneumonia. It was actually, like, on Halloween.
Oh, great.
Where I was, like, legit, like, just
how awesome.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, getting, you know, all kinds of treatment, medication hooked up. Like, oh, that was a nightmare. Then I think the year before that, like, my first year out here, I did the Playboy Mansion.
Mm.
So that was, like, the one thing. And, yeah, I only had one costume. But it was a really good costume. It was the... sexy Chewbacca. That's my Chewbacca noise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You mentioned that before.
Yeah, it was like a girly version of Chewbacca from Star Wars. I just wanted to do something completely outrageous. And it was,
that is outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But, yeah, but that's usually how it's been. I haven't, you know, I've never had a Halloween like this. Or I've got so many different themes. But that's the thing, too. I feel like, you know, I need to, like, hold off and maybe not get the costumes too soon if that's, like, the thing to do or all the themes, you know.
That's true, yeah.
The themes. My mom's going to think that's funny the way I just said that. That was an inside joke for you, Ma. The themes.
The themes? Okay.
Yes, the very specific way I said it. She's going to laugh. I'm probably going to get a text message like, ha, 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 ha. In like 3 minutes.
Yeah. So what was it that you texted me this morning? Traffic apps are BS?
Yes,
what is that about?
Yes, they are. So I always, before I leave, I like to check and see like, okay, should I take Laurel Canyon? You know, because a lot lately they've been having construction.
Mm.
And it's driving me nuts because then it takes forever and then I have to try to like, you know, you can't really get out of that, you know?
Right,
but I always
stuck.
Have to try to find
on the
a way
canyon.
Out. Go back down and take like the highway or something. Like I'm always, you know, so before I leave the house, I always like to make sure what's the best way to take,
right.
you know, and it looked a little before I actually got up there, it looked a little trafficy. So I checked again and still said, oh, Laurel Canyon, you know, is the fastest way again. I'm like, okay. And yeah, it definitely was not. There were like two different, like construction points, you
right.
know, where they had the roads like blocked off and
wonderful.
Going all different ways.
Yeah.
And it's just like, really?
Yeah.
come on. Refresh. Really, what's going on?
Yeah, well, I guess when you take the canyon, you take that into account, you know, that it's going to happen. And you just sit there. I mean, the people that drive the other way in the morning, the opposite way from you, they just sit there in traffic. I mean, it barely moves, you know. I don't know how they make it and how they can do it every morning, but it's crazy.
I know. It's nuts.
Yeah.
That's the thing, and the highways were shown, like, really red, and they were, like, even longer. So I'm like, well, I guess
but I still find
either way.
I find that the freeways are still always the fastest. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I should. Yeah, next time, when in doubt, just, you know.
Exactly. Because on the freeway, sometimes the speed will pick up, and there's no lights, and things like that, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, it always ends up being okay, but whatever. I was listening to, you know, other random gossip news about how, I guess, the new trend is to, you know, is to propose on the female's birthday and, you know, present her with a 15-carat diamond ring.
That's like the common thing now?
Yes. Kim Kardashian and now Ciara.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who the hell's Ciara?
Ciara, she's a singer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shows you how I'm on top of everything. So what happened with her now?
So she also was proposed on her birthday.
On her birthday with a 15-carat ring.
Yeah, like a 15-carat diamond ring. And that's what happened to Kim Kardashian. Kanye proposed on her birthday with, like, 15-carat
diamond ring. I see. So maybe it's fashionable, but for the celebrities, obviously not for people like us.
Oh, gosh, I know.
15-carat,
my God. For celebrities. It's just
you have to work your entire life for that.
It's just so, so ridiculous. Like, it's funny. Like, my fingers are so tiny. Like, I think, I want to say I'm a 4, but even a 4 is a little bit loose. I think I'm more, when I'm measured, I'm thinking more of like a 3 3/4, I think.
Your fingers?
Yeah, my ring size, which is like absolutely ridiculously tiny.
Yeah. Well, at least now we know for anybody who wants to give me a ring.
Yeah, right?
There you go. Now you know what the size of your fingers are.
It's going to be like, if I get a 15-carat diamond ring, it's going to have to be like one of those that go, like, the band is on like 2 fingers,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And it like puts 2 fingers together and it's going that's the only way I'd be able to pull off a 15-carat diamond ring.
That's a big rock, man.
Ridiculous. Wow. But yeah. No, I wouldn't hate that. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, it's too big. Please take it back. Please take it back. No. I'd be like, okay, I can work with this.
But I mean, you know, if like Kanye West can afford a ring like that and it, you know, barely registers for him, is that really a show of love from him? You know, I mean, because it's not a big deal, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know. Well, you know, I mean, for a guy that can't, you know, barely afford 2 carats, you know, to get something is a big deal. So the woman might feel, oh, he really loves me. You know, he went all out. But Kanye is spending, you know, I don't know, a couple $100,000.
Yeah, well, I guess he said, you know, he was on a radio talk show. And they were asking him, like, any questions about the wedding. Like, do you have anything planned yet? And he goes, no. The only thing I know for sure that's going to be at the wedding is 2 words. Fighter jet or something like that.
Really?
Like, okay, so you're going to have fighter jet planes, like, doing something at your wedding? I don't know. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's
did it
all.
Happen that
that's
point?
All the information they have on their wedding currently.
Oh, okay. Oh, they haven't got married yet.
No.
Oh, okay.
Just proposed. Like, this is like super recent.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
On her birthday, which was not that long ago.
Oh, okay.
Maybe like a week or so ago.
Shows you like I'm on top of all that, Kim Kardashian. Yeah, I really couldn't care less about him, but they're constantly there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you gonna do?
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to our guest. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him to us?
Oh, okay.
Because you guys appear to know each other.
Gladly, yes. I love saying his name, too. It sounds so, like, sophisticated. Uh-huh. Jordan Lefleur.
Oh,
I just like to say it fancy.
Bonjour.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it bienvenue?
Bienvenue,
you see, welcome.
Oh, see, check you out,
yeah,
Sam.
I know a couple of words.
Look
I told
at you,
you
being all bilingual on a Tuesday.
So, Jordan is a musician.
Yes.
And you brought in your guitar and some songs, and we'll get to that in quite a bit. Yes. I mean, in a little bit. You're French speaking. Are you originally from France, from Canada, from Morocco? Where?
I'm originally from Paris.
Oh, really?
I moved here when I was.
France, for those who don't know. Right? Okay.
In the middle.
We have to clarify
for
that.
For those who don't know. I don't know if there's anybody that doesn't know that, unless you live under a rock.
Yeah.
Or you're like a baby or something. Okay, sorry, never mind. Go ahead.
So you were born in Paris?
Yes, I was born and raised in Paris, yes.
Oh, so you grew up there as well?
I grew up there and then moved here after a few years. After.
French parents and everything?
French parents, yes.
Okay, so you're like, there was no American early on in your life?
No.
Okay.
No. No American influence, except now.
Yeah. There you go. Well, we'll get to how you got here and everything. But so did you grow up with siblings and stuff? Do you have brothers, sisters?
I do. I have a big family. I have two brothers and two sisters. One of my brothers is back home. He lives in Marseille.
Uh-huh.
And then my...
That's Marseille, for those who don't speak French. Okay.
Marseille.
Yeah, Marseille. Okay.
Yeah. Super, like, American
I love French, by the way, so go on.
And my sister, she lives in Paris.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, diverse. And then.
So you guys are all over the place.
Right, yes. Yeah.
That's usually how it happens. You know, in today's world, you know, everybody moves away. You know, nobody stays around because it's so easy to move, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how old were you when you decided to leave France?
Well, my father worked for the French government. He was an attaché for the embassies. So... He finished his post over here, and we decided to stay.
Oh, I see. So he was at a post here.
Yes.
Okay. At what age did you guys move from France to come here?
I was about 14 years old.
14. Okay.
Yes.
So you knew what was going on already.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
So now, before that, was your father traveling too, or was he at home?
We traveled every 3 years from country to country.
Oh, really? So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then everything came back to France because we kept our house there in the center of France.
Right.
And, you know, to have our roots. But we moved around the world a lot.
So before you moved to America, you were in different places too?
Yes.
So you grew up in different places pretty much, right?
Yes, yeah.
What
wow,
place?
Every 3 years.
Yeah.
Every 3 years.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of cool, though.
Yeah. I lived in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, really?
Which is in the United Arab Emirates, for anybody who doesn't know.
Right.
It's a small, tiny country right next to Kuwait.
Wow.
And I was
is
there.
Is there a lot of French influence there in Abu Dhabi?
I don't really know. You know, I was so young.
Isolated, right? Being in the embassy and stuff? No?
Yeah, because you know it's a high profile job, so you know it's not like I could go outside and go interact and everything. But you know we were, you know, my father had he went to Dubai almost every weekend to go buy carpets from our carpet dealer. So every time we would go there, you know, it would take 8 hours because you know just pouring of coffee and how's your family and everything, and then business gets started.
Right. Huh?
After like 5 hours of coffee and talking and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So they're more like hospitable and stuff.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
It, right.
It's so nice, you know.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
So now, I mean, but you were not allowed to go outside and stuff. So did you have to stay like on the compound the whole time? Or?
You know, we had we did have a compound where you know. Which is like a big, big apartment where everybody from the embassy lived.
Okay.
And, you know, my father had a Pakistani driver that would pick me up from school and to school, and sometimes he would take me, you know, to a restaurant or something like that. So at least I wouldn't stay home all the time.
Right.
You know, but it was nice. I got to meet a few people. And...
That's a different kind of life. I mean, you have a very unique story, you know? I mean, how many people are... Born to ambassadors, or if you not an ambassador, but he worked at the embassy. Is
yes,
that what
worked,
it is?
Yeah,
right.
he was an attaché.
Attaché. Okay, so he moves around a lot and stuff, right? And so that's unusual, you know, because it's something where I guess you can't really plant roots anywhere, right? Because I mean, the moment you do, you have to leave.
You know, it sounds good now,
right.
But when you're a kid, you know, every 3 years you have to reset.
Right.
And you lose. you lose friends.
That's what I mean.
That's gotta be tough.
That's what I mean. You can't plant roots because then it's. I think it's painful to leave your friends and every time that you move, you know. Because
yeah,
I know I moved a few times around in my life. My parents always wanted to move to different places, so I lived in about 4 different places by the time I was 16, and it's pretty painful to leave your friends behind, you know. Because at that age, friends are very important to you. Right.
And, you know, it's not like also you're moving to like another school or something.
Right.
You know, you're changing culture.
Exactly.
You know, it's, you go from one country where they have their culture, they have, you know, things like Halloween and all that, you know, whatever they have for their country. And then you go to clear cut across the world and then you start
it's
a new life
else.
And you have to learn everything all over again
all
and
over
the culture
again.
And the way people, you know, act socially and everything. And by the time you understand that, well, it's time to move again.
Yeah.
So, wow.
You know.
Yeah. But
did you ever, try to, like, you know, keep in touch with friends? Or, I mean, it's got to be so hard to do.
I
friends,
did.
Like, everywhere around the world.
Unfortunately, you know, the Facebook and everything like that didn't exist.
Didn't exist back
right.
then.
You know,
right.
Let alone the internet. So, but actually, recently, I think 5 or 6 years ago, a childhood friend that I knew way back. We were kids. We played. We were like 9, 10 years old. He found me on the internet, and he friend-requested me on Facebook. And so we've been talking ever since. He works in a bank in South America now.
Really?
And so,
wow.
You know, we are trying to schedule to see if we can meet like some kind of halfway or something like that. You know?
That is so cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. And that's why I like Facebook, you know, because you're able to reconnect with some childhood friends, you know.
That's
and it's
so
really
neat.
Cool. But there's still a lot of people I want to reconnect with that I can't seem to find anywhere, you know, Google searches, people searches, anything. I can't find them, you know, because people move around a lot, you know.
And some people don't want to be on Facebook.
Right.
And some people's jobs don't even allow them to have a Facebook or Twitter account or
wow,
anything like that.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So you lived in Abu Dhabi. Where else did you go?
I lived in London.
In London too?
Yes.
For about 3 years, right?
For about 3 years.
How did you like that over there?
It was probably the best place I've ever lived around the world.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because it's different. The culture is completely different. Like, you know, you...
A lot happening, huh? It's like New York of Europe.
You know, it's really nice. And, you know, and the people are... They're really nice, despite if there's any French people listening, they might hate me for this.
Yeah. I know the French and the British don't really like each other very much.
Never really liked each other.
It's a competition, I think.
Always,
you know?
always. Especially right now with football, soccer.
Soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on. So.
But yeah, so you know, we would, for example, like during Christmas time, they have all the big department store, like Harrods. You have. You know, Hamleys, which is a big, huge, like 8-story toy store.
Marks and Spencer, right?
Marks and Spencer.
Marks and Spencer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I was there. I was there when I was 14 years old.
And you know, it's really nice because you can walk in London, and you know, the street is decorated, and then you know, the shops, they all have windows, so you can literally go
feels
window
festive,
shopping.
Right.
And you know, they decorate. They'll put you know, trains and things like that. You know, and when you're a kid. And you're walking around, it's so nice because each window has something
like
so cool about
it.
And your eyes are just huge and wide open.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God.
It's interesting that these are the things that stuck in your mind, you know, and because as a child, it's very impressive to see these things, you know, because you don't see it everywhere and stuff. So that's pretty cool. And then after London, where did you move?
Well, London, I moved to Washington, D.C.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's the first time you guys
that's
moved
the first
to the States?
Time, yes.
Okay, and what was it like there? I mean, did you speak any English at that point?
I did. My father and mother are bilingual. My mother is Filipino, but she is naturalized French.
I see.
So she gave up her nationality. And so English was actually the first language that I was taught.
Oh,
at
really?
Home.
Okay.
Because that's what they spoke at home, right? Or they couldn't communicate in French? Or?
It depends on how mad my parents are.
I see, okay. Yeah. But that's true. I mean, that's usually the language you hear at home. That's your first language, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my kids sometimes bitch to me, well, why didn't you teach us Hebrew and all that? I said, well, I spoke English to your mom. You know, I'm not going to, like, speak 2 languages at home. But
right.
I guess some people do. I don't know. It just didn't work out for me. so my kids speak English, you know, because it's what they heard at home. So so I can see what you mean by that. So you're probably pretty fluent in English all the time, right?
Yeah, no, I am. I'm, especially since I moved to the States, and you know, I learned all the small.
Yeah, no, I mean you have absolutely no accent or anything.
You don't even have an accent.
Yeah, well, because you came at a young age, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so you were, like you said, 14 when you
14
moved to
when
the
I moved to the States. Yeah.
Right.
But I had like strong English accent when I when I came here, because I came from England.
From England, that's right. So you had to change that one too.
And all the, you know, like, when you call people names and things like that, and you know, it doesn't register here because it's a whole different language almost, you know.
Yeah.
And as a teenager, you come in here, it's kind of a shock, huh?
Yeah, but it was nice.
Yeah.
You know, I got a lot of
attention.
A lot
of attention, yeah. From the girls, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
there you go.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Girls love accents. Let me tell you. Yes.
Good, then I'll make mine thicker. Wow. So now, your love of music, when did that start? Did you at an early age like music?
It was something that I was kind of brought up into. My family, they all come from, we're all classical musicians.
Oh, really?
My father was a classical guitarist. My grandfather is a classical violinist, a classical clarinetist, and so on and so on and
wow.
so on. So,
oh,
wow.
When I was 3 years old, I was enrolled in the Conservatory of Music in Paris.
Uh-huh.
And I was piano and piano and piano, scales, all the way till I came to the States. And then I was able to kind of divert everything.
Oh, really? So now, when you... So you were playing piano from the age of three, right?
Yes.
So you must be like really good by now.
I'm decent, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to take piano lessons, but I never really got much further than like Mary Had a Little Lamb. that was my masterpiece.
Yeah. But you come from a musical family, so I guess it's in the genes almost, you know, where you... But like you said, you were kind of thrown into it and stuff when you're too young to decide.
Yeah, you don't really have a choice.
Yeah,
you know?
just do it.
You know, but when I got old enough to understand that I didn't like it, I couldn't do anything about it. So.
Yeah. So you didn't really like piano, huh?
I hated it, actually.
Really? You think because you were forced to do it, or just because it wasn't your instrument?
You know, I didn't gravitate towards it.
Right.
You know, I always wanted to play guitar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father was playing classical, but then he would take out another one of his guitars, and then he'd play the blues.
Oh, wow.
And so I would sit there, and I would just listen to him. And, you know, at the time, you know, Joe and Jet's song was on the radio everywhere back home.
Uh-huh.
And so for me,
You can't play that on the piano, right?
I was jumping on the couch and singing that stuff. And, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a rock star. I said, oh, I'm going to play... You know, I'm gonna grow my hair and I'm gonna spike it, and you know, I'm gonna play rock and you know, but my father said no.
No, huh? So you had to wait a little bit.
Yeah, it was until I was 16 that I hit like a rebellious stage, and I said, no, I don't want any, no more classical music, no more classical music.
Yeah, so. I need rock and roll. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you do? I mean, at what age were you when you decided, okay, I'm leaving the piano, I'm picking up a guitar?
At about 15,
really?
I started complaining. Same time I started complaining for a car. Which
yeah.
I got the guitar first.
But it's nice. Did you get an acoustic guitar or electric guitar?
I got an acoustic. I actually got my father's acoustic that he would just kind of playing around with. And then I've kept it ever since, you know, because it's like nostalgic.
Aww. Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, for me, it's my favorite guitar. And... yeah, he gave me the acoustic. I didn't want the acoustic. Uh-huh. I wanted the electric.
The electric guitar.
And my father always said, you know.
See, I went through the same thing, yeah.
You play acoustic, and then you play the electric.
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's true, because acoustic is harder, you know, once you get over that one, you know. It's
the dexterity in the fingers.
Exactly. And it's a wider bridge and everything, you know. So for a little kid, it's hard to play the guitar, you know, the acoustic guitar at any rate. So you got into that. Now, did you consciously decide I'm going to try to make a career out of this?
When I discovered that I could actually kind of sing,
uh-huh.
You know, I it was a dream, right. You know, and I started playing in bands in high school. And, you know, I didn't really accomplish too much. You know, everybody right. wanted to play, like, metal and everything. And
yeah.
That's what I played. I learned, you know, different chords that way. You know, I learned different ways of picking. And right. so that's what I played until I got kind of sick of it after high school. I said, oh, right. you know, I'm tired yeah. of this shit, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, so you're, like, dynamic. You keep wanting new things and different things and stuff. That's interesting.
It's a pain.
Yeah, uh-huh. I know. Never satisfied.
It's
huh?
a pain.
A music nymphomaniac, that's what yeah. you are. No satisfaction. Cool, well, let's get to some of your music. You also brought in your guitar, so if you want to play live, we can play live. But let's start with one of the recorded songs. So let's play a song and then we'll go back because we're jumping around a little bit. And I want to know what happened before you actually recorded your first song. But we'll get to that in just a minute. I just want to make sure we get some music in here. So the first song is Let You Go. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, how it came about?
Let You Go was, it was, the concept in my mind was, you know, people fighting and, you know, when you fight and you love somebody mm-hmm. and you want to stay, but it's like inside of you, you know that you're not happy inside.
Right.
But you keep pushing and you keep pushing and you keep pushing, and that's what the song is about.
Oh, okay. So you've experienced something like that, I guess?
You many know, times,
to,
yeah.
Yeah, to be familiar with it and be able to write a song. Now, do you write the lyrics and the melody on the songs?
I do everything.
You do. Awesome. And the recording, too?
The recording. And wow, the mixing and the engineering.
Wow, let's listen to that. Okay, so this is Let You Go, Jourdain.
Your hand upon my face alone.
Cool. Let you go, Jourdain. What's the last name again?
It's La Fleur.
La Fleur, the flower.
The flower.
There you go. Wow.
That is awesome.
Very cool. Now I'll remember it, La Fleur. Okay. Now this is a cool song. Would you describe it as a style, a genre, or do you think it's just like you can't categorize it?
You know,
what did you say?
I think most people would categorize it as like pop rock.
Right. That's how I would. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. because it's not, you know, it's
not has, heavy metal and
it has certain electronic elements in it, but right, it's still yeah. written in a ballad. Rock ballad kind of thing.
Right. So you did all the instruments, probably MIDI and you know, on the computer and stuff, and guitars and things like that.
Yes.
That's a lot of fun to do, huh?
It's a lot of fun. Yes.
It's hard work, but it's a lot of fun to create the music and put the layers one by one, and
it becomes work when there's something that you want to get out and there's something missing and
right.
you can't find that thing, and you're listening it over and over again, and you're going, what's missing? There's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's driving you crazy. And so,
yeah.
And everybody that's in your house is also going crazy because you're going crazy. So.
And you're making them crazy.
Yes.
Wow. Well, sounds good. So, but you started with heavy metal, you said, or at least hard rock.
Yes.
In high school and stuff. And so did you like naturally drift to a softer sound? How did that happen?
You know,
I think as you matured, you got older and stuff, you changed your taste in music.
Yeah, but you know, a bassist of mine that was, you know, we remained great friends. He introduced me to Coldplay, and because at the time I was listening to Blur, I was listening to, you know, a lot of big UK bands.
Okay.
And he introduced me to Coldplay. That's when Coldplay first came out with Yellow and
Clocks.
And Clocks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, before Clocks.
Really?
Before Clocks.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I said, wow, you know, this is really cool. And so we started when it was just us hanging out. We would play that style of music.
Mm.
And, you know, we'd go back to the heavy metal, you know, because we played shows that way and stuff. And
right.
people liked a mosh pit and everything. But when we were kind of quiet, you know, and we were just hanging out, you know, we would play that style. And I really, really liked that style.
Mm.
And it wasn't until a few years later that I decided, you know, I'm going to go out and experiment and see what I can do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, it was a good choice. I mean, it's, you know, the song, everything sounded great. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Background vocals and everything.
Thank you.
Harmonies. Mm-hmm. Cool. So pick up the guitar. Let's hear something live. And what are you going to play for us?
That's a good question.
You haven't decided
yet?
You brought
really
your
decided.
Guitar all the way here.
So now is this your dad's guitar, the one you have here?
This is my father's guitar. It doesn't look as new as
cool.
it was when it was given to me. It's
right.
been.
But that's its personality,
but
you
that's
know?
That's the thing, yeah. It's yeah. like it's
the guitar's
amazing.
Been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
I think every show I've ever brought it to, it's been with me. So, you know, there's a lot of scratches and everything. And my father ended up buying a similar guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go home and I look at his guitar, I just go, wow, mine used to look like that. You know, polished.
Trade them back, yeah.
Polished and everything. But, you know, I played that guitar.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, even though it's the same guitar, it doesn't feel the same.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
You know,
wow.
I don't know what it is. It just doesn't feel the same. And I don't feel as comfortable when I play
very
that guitar.
Interesting.
Well,
yeah.
This thing, I mean, it has a story, you know. It's
yeah.
been everywhere. It's special.
Yeah, and it's
so
probably
cool.
like shoes, you know. It like fits you after a while and you don't want to get into something new.
I think
new,
so.
You know?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it kind of fits you perfectly.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Great. So what song are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a song called Hollywood Forever.
Oh, okay. Sounds appropriate enough.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead. Maybe you should just get back. No, this is good. Just sit there and play. You'll be good. Thank you.
coming out from Mexico. I'm coming down this boulevard. I'm here traveling with my guitar, with fancy lights on this pretty car. Ah, somewhere I belong. Traveling this boulevard, I'm traveling with my guitar. I pack my dreams in my car. I'm traveling this boulevard, somewhere I belong. Said goodbye, and now on that train, yeah, Hollywood was lost. When you said goodbye, now to it, goodbye, now on that train. Traveling this boulevard, I'm here traveling with my guitar. Fast drugs and fast cars, I'll have them all with my guitar. Ah, somewhere I belong. Oh, but Hollywood was gone.
So this one definitely tells the story of Hollywood, huh?
Yes.
Of coming here and wanting to make it. And
for all the wrong decisions.
Yeah. So
you
moved here to L.A. how long ago?
Let's see. I'll tell my age, I guess. 28.
You don't have to, but...
No, you know, it's in my bio when you go on my website anyway. So
okay.
That was one
of the... Besides, you're a man, man. I mean, men are not ashamed of their age.
You know, I don't care. You know, I'm still in my 20s. I'm still allowed to say...
Yeah, there
you go, man. To say that. So, you know, I came... Let's do some math. I think about 15 years ago. 15, 16 years ago, I came here to the States.
Oh, okay. No, you came to the States, but to L.A.
Ah, to L.A.? I got here around 15, 16 years old. I stayed only like 8 months in Washington, D.C.
I see. And then you moved
and
here.
And then moved here.
So with the family, right?
Yes.
Not by yourself or anything.
No.
Okay, so the decision was made for you. We're moving to L.A. We're going to be in Hollywood and stuff. Were you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. You know, when you're, you know, in Europe, Hollywood is like this big place, and it's, you know, wow, you have movie stars walking everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, just you have stars on the ground, and it's so nice, and it's you know, it's like when you're a kid and you dream of Disneyland,
right,
and you've never been.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, well, I came to Hollywood, and I discovered that it wasn't so much like how I was looking at it.
Yeah.
From the European point of view.
Yeah, it was quite different, huh?
A lot different, yes.
You find it hard to really get exposure here and stuff?
You know, and fortunately, I have a lot of people around me that you know, really love the music that I make, and you know, so I'm fortunate to have a team that cares.
That's awesome.
About my music and enough that they want to help promote it. You
awesome.
Know, and,
so this is your career. This is what you decided you're going to do.
Yes.
You're not going to be an attaché or anything, not an ambassador.
You know, it's a little too late for that.
Yeah. Why, do you have tattoos already or something?
No, not yet, but you know, only time will tell.
I know, it's like, it seems like with tattoos, there's a lot of jobs you can't get, you know?
Yeah.
That's interesting, you know, but because it seems like everyone's got tattoos now, you know?
Yeah.
Almost every other person I see has got something on
it. Is very,
it does seem
very
like
common.
It, yes.
Yeah.
And yes, with your profession, it, you know, it doesn't matter if you
yeah,
have tattoos or not. So
it's kind of a prerequisite.
Road,
you know, I guess I'm like the minority because I don't have any body art. So,
yeah.
And I'm not really in a hurry to get some done.
Yeah.
But 99.9% of the people that I meet, you know, whether they're engineers or producers or whatever, they all have tattoos. And
really?
So,
yeah.
You know, I feel like the odd man out a little bit because I don't have anything. But,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah. No, don't do it if you don't have to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody has to, but it's just that I can't relate to a decision that's like going to be with you for the rest of your life about something like that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's decisions that are important, but something like this, it's just like, is it really worth it, you know? But for some people, look, that's the form of expression, you know, you know, rebellion, whatever you want to call it, you know, but they do it. And people find it to be an identity for them and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't need one to be doing
a
what
roster.
You do. I mean,
no.
you're great
can,
at
you can go to the
thing,
you know to
so.
The little to the little places and you can put the 25 cents in there.
Yeah,
rub on tattoos. You know,
you've got the sponge in the water and then you're like, yeah, check
there
me
you
out.
Go, yeah.
They got like the little glitter ones, like glitter tats. You know.
Wow.
I know.
So
but,
should they? Yeah. Well. Jordan, so tell everybody where they can find your music, where they can find out more about you.
Well, it's available on iTunes.
Okay.
So Let You Go, and the new single, which will be out October 31st.
Okay. We never got to it, but they can download it from iTunes
and
stuff.
Yes, they can download it from iTunes along, you know, with Amazon and,
right.
You know, pretty much.
And the name is Jordan Lafleur, by the way, for those who didn't get it. And go on. So where else?
It's available pretty much everywhere music is sold. So
okay.
all the major retailers, of course. You know.
Sounds
like.
Good. What's the name of the album?
There is no album yet.
Oh, I see. So,
I'm releasing singles, and then in January, actually for my birthday, I've decided that I'm going to get the album done, which is
nice.
More of a pain because now I've set in my mind.
Yeah.
Now you've got a date. They have a deadline.
So now I have a deadline that I have to get the album out by that time. So it's a little nerve wracking because I'm going and picking tracks and everything.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, it's like building something, you know. And once it comes out, it's like a little baby, you know. When when you write a book, when you do a movie, and
it's
the same with an album and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan, very talented. We're very impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, high
Thank
five,
so
man.
Much.
This is awesome. I go from, like, you know, meeting you at the House of Blues. I feel like I should go back and say why that was ironic. So that's where we met. We met at the House of Blues for the Joan Jett concert, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, yeah, we were throwing back Jack Daniels and having a good time.
So
and,
for you, that Joan Jett was a big deal because that's what you were dancing
to. I was quite happy. You know, I was quite happy. So, you know, we actually met on the Gibson tour bus.
Yes.
Because,
that was it.
Our friend Peter had walked in, and we were doing interviews along with a few artists that are there too.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter came in with five or six of you guys, and
yeah, I mean, I just kind of rolled up with my roommate, and we're like, okay, why not? Let's check it out.
And so we all got brought onto the tour bus, and lo and behold, the tour bus was completely full of people.
Really?
But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was, you know, there was a lot of mingling and all that stuff going on.
Yeah.
So sounds good.
Yeah, it was cool, because you go from being like, oh, yeah, you know, I got a radio show. Oh, that's cool, I'm a musician. Oh, cool, maybe you'll come on my show sometime. And now I get, you know, an email from a publicist. I'm like, oh, wow, this is official.
Yeah,
he's legit.
There you go.
And then, you know, showed us your songs and played your guitar, and I'm like, okay, this is
awesome.
This is awesome.
Well, we gotta run, folks. So thanks for joining us again, Jordain.
Thank you.
All the best to you with your career and everything.
Thank
I know
you
you'll
much.
Do well. And everybody, thanks for listening, Mia. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll
see
everybody
tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.